Well, praise the Lord, you come to church today. Three of you. Glory, hallelujah. Well, I'm glad that three of you showed up. Praise the Lord, we're going to have church because the Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst. So those three people that answered, why don't you just come on up to the front row, praise the Lord. We're going to have church, the rest of the people are going to watch, hallelujah. No, we come to get church today, we come to get God today. We're not going to be stiff and, you know, we might have had picnics last night, I don't know what's going on. Praise the Lord. But sometimes, you know, in the summer months, we can start dragging a little bit. We can start getting overtired because there's so much going on. But we're never going to get too tired for the things of God. We're never going to put that importance on the back burner. We're not going to put it on the shelf and hide it away somewhere. No, we're going to right out in the open, and we're going to get excited for the things of God. We're going to get excited for all He does, because if you don't get excited here, you surely aren't going to get excited out there, and if you don't get excited out there, there ain't nobody else that's going to get excited, and that means nobody else is going to come in. Oh, don't make me talk fast this morning, praise the Lord. Glory to God, I'm off and running because I'm excited. I've been stirred this morning. I was stirred last night. I was stirred all week, praise the Lord, because God's got good things for us, and I just can't wait to get into them, amen. God's got good things for us. There's so many people that want to teach you God's doing bad things. Oh, sure, they'll say God is good, God does good, but they don't really mean it because they also think God does bad things. But we know God isn't doing bad things. You know, if we get I know that some of the messages lately have been a little corrective in that nature, a little bit bold, praise the Lord, and that's okay. We need bold messages, because if I preach like a lily, then you guys are going to all live like lilies, and we don't want to live like lilies. We want to be, the Bible says that we need to be good soldiers, praise the Lord, so we're going to be good soldiers, amen. We're not going to be wimps like the rest of the world. We're not going to be fall into that society norm of laying down and being a precious flower that just gets trampled on. We're not going to do that. We're going to stand up. We're going to be strong in the word, strong in the Lord, because that's exactly what He intended. Us. Amen. Jesus didn't die so that we could be defeated. I say that so much, but we need to get that in us. We need to understand that. We need to be full of that knowledge, because if we're full of that knowledge, then we're not going to live defeated lives. I understand what it's like when the trial comes at you. Listen, the trial comes at me too, but it's not the trial that we focus on. We focus on our Heavenly Father. We focus on the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we focus on the power that He left us with. That's what we focus on. When the devil rears his head and tries to show us just how big and just how tough he is, hallelujah, what do? We're going to stand up, praise the Lord. We're going to puff out our chest a little bit, and we're going to growl back. Amen? Because the Bible says He walks about as a roaring lion, but He doesn't have the teeth to bite. All He can do is convince us. And if we're going to be convinced, then we're going to lay down and be defeated. But we're not going to be lay down and be defeated. We're going to stand up, and we're going to be strong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got a world right now that is trying to come against everything that the church is supposed to stand for. So much so that a lot of the churches have just laid down and handed it over to them and said, hey, well, we're going to do what you do. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I lived in the world for years, and living in the world doesn't do you any good. Living in the world doesn't get you the defeat, doesn't give you the victory, hallelujah. Living in the world doesn't get you the power of God, but living in the Word does. You know, my wife was talking about that scripture, you know, Malachi 3:10. And even this week, I heard some people, they're trying to use religious basis for arguing that tithing isn't scriptural and all this stuff. Well, I'm just going to tell you this. I've never seen anybody who's truly given themselves to tithing and living right that has gone without. I've never seen it. In fact, I've seen lives after life change. You know, people sometimes they argue our doctrine. They say, well, I don't know about all that. But I'm going to tell you right now, if it's in the Word and we preach it and you listen to it and you put it into practice in your life will change. But if you don't, your life won't. The reason my life is different than what it was is because I started putting the Word to practice in my life. Hallelujah. Now, I didn't mean I'm perfect at it. I know y'all think that I am, but I'm not perfect at putting the Word to practice, but that's what grace is for. Grace meets me when I ain't perfect. So praise the Lord. If you ain't perfect, I'm not perfect. We're in perfect company. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we got a God that is perfect. We have a risen Savior. He isn't, you know, I know so often we look at the cross, and praise the Lord for the cross. I love what Jesus did on the cross. But that's not our focus anymore, right? Because Jesus didn't stay on the cross. What did Jesus do? He went to the throne. Praise the Lord. He wasn't good enough with staying on the cross. He wasn't good enough staying in the grave. He's like, no, I'm gonna go right up to heaven, right next to God, hallelujah. And guess what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna prepare a seat for you, hallelujah. He said that we are seated in heavenly places through Christ Jesus, with Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to be seated in heavenly places. He said the devil's under our feet, so let's put the devil under our feet. Let's keep him there. Praise the Lord. And we got to stir ourselves. You know, I talked about that. You know, I know that people like to be silent in church. People like to be quiet in church. And I'm not taking away from reverence. Reverence is an important thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Reverence is a wonderful thing. We need reverence. We need to understand reverence more. But you know, there's sometimes when we need to shout. I said there's sometimes when we need to shout. That'd been a good place for an amen. Hallelujah. There's sometimes when we need to dance. There's sometimes when we need to get up and say, you know what? I'm not being bound anymore. I know I don't feel like it, but I don't care what you feel like. Bible never says live by feelings. If you live by feelings, you're doing just what the world does, and that's why you're still having the same things you always had. But see, when you live above your feelings, when you live according to the Word of God, I'm going to tell you, it starts changing. It starts changing on the inside of you. You know, see, the Bible says that the Bible never tells us to read the Bible. It tells us to meditate in the Word. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your Word. That means doing the Word. It means you open the Word, look at what it says, and then you do it. It's not that hard. It's not confusing. It doesn't have to be, you know, a lot of people think that the Bible is a lot harder. It's real simple, the things that God tells us to do. And if you don't know what they are, if you don't understand it, well, praise the Lord, you just keep coming here and we'll keep telling you. Amen? Glory to God. Well, you excited to be in church now? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, see, that's a little more like it. Praise the Lord. We need to be excited about what God is doing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, today I'm preaching a message called Freely Given. Freely given, and I'm excited about this because it's just talking about, you know, I think most of it's talking about the goodness of God. We'll see where the Spirit leads, but you know, God did things for us. Jesus did things for us. People, so many times people dwell on the idea that salvation stopped at going to heaven. That salvation is just for the sweet by and by. We have songs written about the sweet by and by, but Jesus was talking about the sweet here and now as well. How do we know that? John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. Not just life, but have an abundant life. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to walk around in riches carrying gold bags and everything like that, you know, but it does mean that we can have an abundant life in all that God intended for abundant life. That does not exclude nice things, but that should never be our focus. If your focus is nice things, your focus is off, and you're already wrong, you're not going to be having the blessing of God flow in your life. God is not, you know, I use the example so much because God gave it to us, and it's wonderful. King Solomon, because he sought wisdom, God made him rich. That means because he sought the direction of God, God made him rich. Made him the richest man that ever existed. Why? Because he sought wisdom. Not because he sought money. Not because he sought things. Because the things just be added to us. Jesus told us. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It didn't say you'll be striving for them. It didn't say you'll be out there looking for them, wondering where they're coming. Praise the Lord. I love the fact that God made me busy in the world, in the church. Because as soon as he made me busy, I had to take my focus off my own and put it on his. And as soon as I did that, guess what? Things started being added to me. Praise the Lord. I became rich. And I'm not talking about financially. I'm still not there yet. Praise the Lord. But it's all the stuff in life. I've never had peace, joy. I've never had like I have now. I've never had stability like I have now. And I'm going to tell you right now, friends, you can't put a price tag on that. Praise the Lord. Well, we better start with some scripture here, otherwise you'll get bored. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:32. For all those naysayers, we have Romans 8:32. Glory, glory, hallelujah. You'll find it in your Bible. I think we're going to, yep, we got it up there too. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things. What's the Bible say? All things. Freely given us all things. He's going to give it. But see, there's an important part to notice in here. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You don't freely get all things without him. You get them with him. That's all things that pertain to life and godliness. Praise the Lord. This is what the Bible says. All things that have to do with life, living life, all the things that God has called us to do. He has provided all these things for us already. How shall he not with him freely give us? He delivered his son. He gave us the highest and best first, so we knew, so we would never question. If I gave you everything that I could possibly give you, if I had my most prized possession and I gave it to you so that you could live, so you could walk out your life, if I did that, you should never question whether I would give you anything lesser. I'm going to tell you, friends, there is nothing that is greater than Jesus Christ. There has been nothing given to us that's anywhere close to Jesus Christ. All the things that you could want in life, all the things that you could desire, all the happiness that you could search for, none of it compares to Jesus Christ. He gave us the highest and best first because he loved us that much. And he wanted to do that, so he said there would be no question. And yet people question him all the time. People question, well, why would God do this all the time? People, why would God take so much? Why would God cause this pain to come on me? I've seen so many people, and I would include myself in this because I was there. I've been there so many times. Lived stupid and then blamed God for the result. Yeah. I lived in the world. I lived hard in the world. Praise the Lord. I did. I lived in drugs. I lived in sex. I lived in everything that I could possibly get into. Anything. And I went down that road freely and easily. I went down it freely and easily. And I'm going to tell you that nothing good ever came of it. But it wasn't God's fault. God wasn't sitting there saying, well, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you that. No, what he was doing the whole time is he was calling to me. He says, son, come back. Son, come back. Son, come back. He kept calling to me. And it wasn't until I finally decided to hook up with his word, to hook up with the truth, that life started to change. My life was, it was an enigma, praise the Lord. It was amazing how badly things went for me. It was amazing how bad everything I did turned out. It was amazing that somebody could make a decision every single time that turned out bad. That was my life. Before Jesus. That was my life, not serving God. See, God wanted to do something in my life, and he wants to do something in your life. And if he did it for me, if he was able to do it in me, well, I'm going to tell you, he's surely able to do it in you. Praise the Lord. You know, I talk about it all the time. It's a sign and a wonder that I can stand before you. It's a sign and a wonder that I can preach for more than 5 minutes. It's a sign and wonder that I can preach, praise the Lord. It's a sign and wonder that I can have anything to give anybody, praise the Lord. That's a perfect example of how good God is because of how bad I was, praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking about this message, you know, my wife let us have a pet, praise the Lord, and it was it's a bunny. You know, my wife's not big on pets, you know, glory to God. And it's probably okay because, you know, I always like the idea of having it. Is it the way things go? You like the idea of it till you get it. And then you're like, well, you know, I love what Reverend Greer says. He said, you know, what you obtain, you must maintain. Praise the Lord. I can obtain a dog, but I don't want to maintain all the stuff that comes out of a dog. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Some people get those big dogs and I don't know. They're just like, they make messes. Praise the Lord. They just do. So I understand where my wife's coming from with that. I just, you know, I like the idea of having a dog. So we got a bunny, and our bunny is fairly, she's been fairly good, except for this morning. Praise the Lord. As we were chasing around the house, trying to get her back into where she's supposed to be. But that's kind of the point that I'm bringing up. When we first brought this bunny home, she didn't even want to get out of her cage. You know, and then we opened it up, and we have this back room and this rug that my grandma made, and the bunny's cage is near the rug. She didn't do anything to the rug, praise the Lord, glory to God. But she did everything to the cords and everything else that's around the Christmas tree and the plants. Yeah, she ate most of them. So we had this bunny in this cage, and she would come out, but she would never leave this rug. You could see her walk up to the edge of the rug, and she would look beyond. But she wouldn't ever go any further than that. And she certainly wasn't going to leave that room. We left the door wide open, and she never went anywhere. She stayed right in that area. And most of the time, she would be in her cage. I mean, I'd come into this room, and I'm like, you're free, girl. I was like, get on up and get out of here. You're free. You don't have to be in that cage all the time. The door's wide open. She just sat in the cage. You know, and I often would joke around about how she didn't know. She didn't realize what was through the rest of the house. I mean, she got like 1,600 feet of Roman, 1,600 square feet of Roman room, and she's staying in just a couple square foot most of the time in just that little cage. You know, but I remember one day she decided that she was going to go exploring. She decided that maybe I do need to get out and expand my knowledge a little bit. I need to expand my horizons a little bit. And so she found the rest of the house. When we weren't there. Praise the Lord. She found the cord to my subwoofer on my sound bar for my TV. Praise the Lord. How many know that those cords don't work real good when they're in 1,000 pieces that big? Praise the Lord. She found the Christmas tree. She found we had some other lights that she found. What else did she chew on? And then we ended up under our bed, which is exactly where my wife did not want her. Praise the Lord. But you know, the same thing, the reason I bring this up is because Christians are so often like this. We're in our preconceived cages because this is where religion has taught us to be. Aunt Sally always said, so this is where I got to be. This is what Grandpa so and so, Grandma so and so said. So this is where I always got to be. And they don't realize that there's a whole world that God wants us to discover. There's a whole truth to faith that God wants us to discover. See, so many people stay in their religion and they don't look outward at all. They never get out of that cage of the religion. You know, Jesus dealt with this so many times. So we stay in these cages and we don't see what God has truly paid for. We don't understand that you know, it's like I hear Christians talking all the time, and it's great. You know, one of the things I love about being a pastor is people come in, they don't know much about the Word, and I love seeing them get taught the Word and their lives change. That's one of the greatest joy as a pastor is people whose lives are being changed by the Word. And it's week in and week out, and you see it. And sometimes people come in and they have ideas, and you just, you know, you're kind and you're sweet because you don't want to chase them off right away. You know, you want to give them a little time before you start chasing them out the door. But you come in, they're kind and sweet, and they say great things and they have great ideas of how things are, and you're just like, oh, that's sweet, you know, and you pat them on the back and praise the Lord. That's their job outside of the pulpit. And then you get in the pulpit and you're like, rah, 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 you know, and you tell them the truth. That's the way it works. Praise the Lord. I love the anointing. I love the anointing, and I love the direction of God. I love the boldness of God in the pulpit. And I tell you to pray for boldness all the time, but I'm gonna tell you, when I leave the pulpit after I've been bold, I don't always love it. You know, the devil beat up on you. You leave the pulpit and you're like, oh, here we go. We're losing half the church. Praise the Lord, because I preached about sin or something like that. But we can't be afraid of these things. We want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because when we get the truth, praise the Lord, when we get it in us, Jesus said we'd be set free. Yeah. See, that's the thing. When you know the truth, when that bunny knew the truth, that there was more space for her to explore, she was set free. Yeah. That cage all of a sudden wasn't good enough anymore. Now the living room's pretty good. Now my wife's side of the bed, because she was under her side of the bed. Hallelujah. That's funny in and of itself, praise the Lord. I'll tell you that right there. But she was under her side of the bed. That was good enough for her. I mean, she went all through the house, you know, and who knows where she had been otherwise. But you know, that's the same thing with us. We need to understand that God has more for us. Jesus did more than just die on the cross. And so many Christians focus on that. We have the crucifixes with Jesus hanging on them. And, you know, if you go in my office, or if you look around every once in a while, you might see something. I also like art, and so I have some of that stuff sometimes. But, you know, the focus of a Christian's walk is not the cross. That's the focus of the unsaved. But once you're saved, there's something to do with that. It's kind of like, you know, if somebody just gave you $1 million, now you got to decide what to do with it. Yeah. If somebody just gave you something precious and sweet, now you got to decide what to do with it. You know, you had it before, or you didn't have it before. Maybe you just thought about it, but now you have it. There's something to do with it. And see, that's the way the Christian walk is that there's so much for us to do with it. And the reason that so more people don't see it is because there's so much that people won't even touch. There's so much that Christians won't even touch. They don't dig into the Word. They don't get to the meat of the Word. They don't find out all that God has for us. Praise the Lord. Bible says that he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give all things? Praise the Lord. He's going to give us all things. Why? Because he wants us to move into something. He wants us to expand our horizons. Amen? Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. John 16:12. Hallelujah. God is good. He is so good. And, you know, if you really dig into it, you're going to find out just how good God is. You know, the thing is that I remember there was times, you know, we had several things happen recently, you know, in life. The things that used to would have rocked me. I mean, in the course of a week and a half, we had our washer quit, and then our lawnmower quit. Well, how many know that you got to have a lawn that's mowed? You should have a lawn that's mowed, unless you have a field that's not supposed to be mowed, but eventually probably mow it anyways. But it's important to have lawn mowed, and it's important to have clean clothes, amen? But there was a time when that kind of stuff would have rocked me, and I just said to my wife, there's a supply. God's got a supply. He said, if we first the kingdom of God, all things will be added to us. She was so worried about it. Yes, she was. She was worried. She was scared. She was trembling. She's like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, I don't know what we're going to do. And then the kids came up and they said, Dad, what are we going to do? Nobody had faith in my house but me. I said, I was like, but maybe not like that. I'm going to get, I can duck. Oh, yeah. No, you're going to, I thought you were going to throw it at me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, I got the mic now, so you do. But see, the thing is, what my point is that God, we have to understand that God is there. He wants to take care of us. He sent his son to die for us so he could show us that he was willing. Praise the Lord. In fact, if you go through scripture, it all leads up to that point. The scripture is full of God taking care of his people. But it also requires God's people to trust him and to live for him. Living for God, people have this idea that for some reason, and we almost find ourselves apologizing for it sometimes. Living for God is not a bad thing. Talking about sin is not a bad thing. It's not, we're not condemning people. We're not looking at people and saying, hey, listen, you're living a horrible life and you stink and you're rotten and you deserve hell and all these things. No, that's not what the message of the gospel was for. But we have to understand that we are miserable and we stink and we're deserving of hell. See, you have to understand that without just putting it on people. You know what I'm saying? We don't walk up to people and say, you know you're going to hell? No, how about talking to them about Jesus? How about building relationships with people? You know, finding a waitress or finding a waiter or finding a cashier somewhere and building a relationship with them. How about buying somebody's groceries in the name of Jesus sometime? How about doing something for somebody that was unexpected that they wouldn't even want? Because the world, see, that's the thing. The world doesn't understand that stuff. And when they see it, it rocks them. But see, that's exactly what God... But see, Christians a lot of times are the most cheap people. They're the most self-centered people. They're more interested in their own stuff than they are anything else. Praise the Lord. If you spend most of your time looking for your own stuff, that's your problem. Praise the Lord. It's the problem. John 16:12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. This is Jesus talking, by the way. Verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. You notice it says he will guide you into all truth. Notice it didn't say that he would chain you up, drag you in. Never said that, does it? See, so many people erroneously think that God is just, everything that happens is God's will because God is this, he's what's the word I'm looking for? Huh? You know what I'm talking about? That God is, he's all sovereign. That God can just do whatever he wants to do. That's a lie. You'll never find that in Scripture. We have a sovereign God, we have a good God, but he is not all sovereign in the sense that everything that happens is by his hand or through his will. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us that it is his will that all should come to repentance, and yet we know that most people don't. It's God's will that all should, the Bible tells us it's God's will that all come to repentance. Some people believe God picks and chooses, except the Bible says, yeah, there's a whole sect of Christianity, they have different names for it. I remember a guy came up to me one day, and he said, are you a Christian? He's like, are you this kind of Christian? Are you this kind of Christian? I'm just a Christian, man. I believe in the Bible. I don't know all that garbage. I just believe what the Bible says. I open the Bible, look at it, when it says it, I believe it. That's what kind of Christian I am. I'm not Calvinist, or I'm not Calvin Fred or whatever else. I'm not Armenian or Russian or whatever the heck. I'm just throwing things in there. You don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about. I didn't know what he was talking about. He knew what he was talking about, but guess what? I know this guy. He doesn't even live right. So you spend more time trying to figure out what you are. I just look at the word and say, I'm a Christian, and I try to do my best to follow that, and I seek the Lord for his direction, and praise the Lord, it works out. You see, that's why people get so... Because everybody tries to make it too smart. See, you gotta be like me. You gotta be a high school dropout to get this stuff. Amen. Glory to God. But you know, I went back and I got my good enough diploma. That's a GED. Praise the Lord. But I went back and got my good enough diploma because it wasn't good enough for me. Praise the Lord. To just be a high school dropout, I had to be a high school dropout with a good enough degree. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you gotta be. You can make it too complicated, and that's not what the word is supposed to be. I'm not saying there's not deeper things in the Word that we can't understand. There's lots of deep things in the Word that take time and stuff like that, and that's fine. But we should, the basic principle of the Word, live right, do right, love God, praise the Lord, love people. This is all basic stuff. Be a giver. These are all basic things. So I'm like, you know, I see these people that talk about, like, you know, giving. They have a problem with churches like us preaching about giving and stuff like that. Well, so you think God wants you to give less now that Jesus died for you? Right? Oh, that was Old Testament. That was Old Testament. That was the law. Actually, it wasn't the law. It predates the law. It goes all the way back to the beginning of time. But hey, who am I? I'm just a high school dropout. Praise the Lord. But you know, see, that's the thing. We can be too smart for our own good, and that's not what God intended us to do. But what my point was, is the Bible says here that the Spirit will guide us into all truth. He ain't dragging us, kicking and screaming. He will guide us. If you're going to be guided, that means you have to be willing to be guided. You can't be guided unless you're willing to go. You didn't get saved until you were willing, right? Praise the Lord. I lived like the devil out there, and I'm going to tell you what, right now, I wasn't saved living like the devil. Praise the Lord. Why? Because I was doing everything opposite of what God said to do. And I was having everything that God said I would have. And I wasn't getting it because God was punishing me. This is the thing. Now, I'm not saying that there's no punishment. But I'm saying that God, the most of the time, the Bible tells us in James that we are drawn away by our own lusts and our own desires. And when we're drawn, we conceive sin, and when sin is conceived, then death comes. So many people blame death on God, but the Bible tells us that death is the last enemy. It says it's the last enemy. God, Jesus told us that you can't be an enemy and be a friend at the same time. God is not our enemy. He is not causing death. He's not sucking life out of good people. He is not doing that. Nowhere will you see that in Scripture. And yet people believe that garbage. Why? Because they're in the cage. They're spending time in their cage. They believe that God, everything that happens is orchestrated by God in their cage. That's because that's what religion always taught them. But God told us in the beginning, he said in the beginning, I created man in my own likeness and our own image, praise the Lord. And then I put him on the earth and I said, you have authority and you have dominion over all the earth. And then man turned around and handed the authority and the dominion to Satan. And then they wonder why they don't have the blessing of God, because man is still doing that. Jesus came, he said, it wasn't enough that they couldn't get it on their own, but I'm going to come and pay the price so that they have their authority and their dominion back. And then Christians took that and they still give it back to the devil. They still give the devil the same dominion and authority God said I put in you. He said the devil is defeated. He was already defeated. And so many people, so many Christians lay down and they let the devil walk all over them. Or they hand it back by the way they live. Praise the Lord. Why do I live right? Why do I attempt to live right? Because I understand that when I don't live right, death comes. Death comes knocking, and it isn't God who's doing it. God isn't trying to take, God only takes the good ones. Praise the Lord, only God takes the good. God ain't taking the good ones. He needs good ones here. But see, if the good ones won't stand in their authority, if they stay in the rabbit cage, if they don't realize the things they've been freely given to them, they can be as good as they want, and they can still go home early. The Bible tells us, with long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Indicating us that salvation is not just for death. Salvation is for today. You have been saved from the world that you were born into. You have been saved from the sin that kept you from being the very power of God, operating in the very power of God. He made us in his likeness, in his image, so that we could live the same way. Jesus showed us how to live. He walked up to the fig tree and he said, you didn't produce fruit for me, so you're not going to produce anything for anyone ever again. Jesus addressed the lack, and yet Christians look at the lack and say, why doesn't God do anything? Jesus said, you will have what you say. He said, you will have what you say. And yet people all the time question, why God? Why God? Why don't I have this? And God's up there saying, because you didn't say it. You didn't say it. You didn't speak it. You didn't call those things that be not as though they were. The great faith chapter, Hebrews 11, it's so amazing when you look through there. And it shows us account after account after account of people who did right. And it's showing us that so we model our lives after that. You say, I don't know what we're ever going to do. And you're never going to know what you're going to do. He placed the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. He will guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Now, the Old Testament people, they didn't even have the Holy Spirit. But now we have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us, guiding, wanting, and willing, and able to guide us into all truth. And yet we won't go. Praise the Lord. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. When was the last time you know, people think we're crazy if we say we know what's the outcome's going to be. I said people think we're crazy when we say stuff like, people in the church think we're crazy. Why? Because we're doing the word? We're crazy because we want to lift hands and praise God? But they think nothing of going out to a football game and sitting there screaming and hollering for a bunch of overpaid children running around a field throwing a stinking pigskin back and forth. People had no problem shouting and hollering for that. They have these concerts with singers who basically worship Satan in every aspect of their life, charging hundreds of dollars a ticket. We have no problem going to any of those. You know, I love it. I love it. You have people like that. You have these singers talking about how we have to give to the poor and we have to be better for man, and no man should have that much money. And people come down on preachers if a preacher prospers. Praise the Lord. Somebody who's preaching the gospel and setting lives free, getting people saved, praise the Lord. I don't care about that. People think, well, this is too big. They have too much. See, the people in America, they're amazing. They think, well, they think, you got too much. If you got 6,000 square foot house, that's too much. I'm not saying they even want a 6,000 square foot, but they just think 6,000 feet for some reason is too much. Yet they don't realize that places in this country where their one bedroom apartment, or in this world, where their one bedroom apartment would be considered the absolute epitome of luxury. I've been in third world countries. There is no such thing as poverty in this country. Even the poorest of the poor in this country. I have been to places where they smell like the favelas in Rio de Janeiro when we were there, when my pastor was ministering down there and I was serving him down there. They took us through these favelas. And they were basically these mountains in the middle of the city of 9 million people. And they were these houses that were stacked, concrete boxes stacked on top of each other. They didn't have doors. They didn't have windows. They may have had a string of lights running somewhere. The entire place smelled like a dumpster all day long. And they didn't know about food. They didn't know about food coming to them or just having it delivered to them. And in this country, we baby our poor. We give our poor everything that they want. And the poor still sit there and complain because they don't think it's enough. That's the kind of place that we live in. We live in a place that's been too spoiled. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. It's the truth. If you don't have in this country, it's because you choose not to have. I'm going to say it again. If you don't have in this country, it's because you choose not to have. God has given us a way. He's given us, God created, this country is God ordained. This country was placed here, was raised up by God himself. How do you know it? Because you look, how does a country in 200 years become the most incredible superpower that exists? And its whole purpose is to fund the gospel. But what happens when people start getting away from that? Well, praise the Lord. When they start pulling back, withdrawing, why do you think we're seeing all the things that we're seeing? I saw an argument, it was really interesting, on gun control. It was really interesting. This guy was saying, it was like, and this guy was a foreigner who had come to the country to be part of the country because he wanted to. He came in legally and got here and got his citizenship and all that stuff. And he's saying, you know, he was talking about the ridiculousness of it. He said, you know, there was a time in our country when kids would bring guns to school. They had shooting classes in school. There was guns everywhere. You could go to the down to the hardware store and buy a gun without any background. There was no problems. The problem is not in the guns. It's not in the guns. But see, there's Christians that actually think along those lines. But see, the thing is they don't realize that there's actually a connection to that mindset that wants to get rid of those. Do you know what the connection is? It's this. He knows that if he takes guns out of the hands of people, then he can start suppressing people. Because then people start having to bow more to a government. And when they start bowing more to a government, they don't have the freedom of religion that we have. Because you don't find this freedom that we have, the freedoms that we have, you don't find this in other countries. See, you don't have this in other places. Do you know in Russia, just last year, in Russia, the government said if the church doesn't already own its own property, then it's not even recognized as a church, and they can't even have church. That means that when we started in the suites, we couldn't have even been a church. We could have been arrested in Russia for doing just that. And see, people don't realize what's actually going on in the world. We live in our posh lifestyles, and people say, well, I'm poor. It doesn't matter. You're still living a posh lifestyle. You don't know what poverty is. You don't know what poverty is. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine, and he declare it to you. I've said this so many times. We've read the scripture a lot, and I've said so many times, Jesus, the Holy Spirit isn't holding up a sign and saying, look what Jesus has. Look what Jesus has. See, Jesus has this, but you can't have it. God isn't saying, the Holy Spirit isn't doing that. That would be foolishness, and that would be backwards from everything that God teaches us. In fact, later on in the same scriptures, he tells us, Jesus tells us, that ask and it will be given to you, that will bring glory to God. That's exactly what God said. Jesus said that. Do you know how many times he talked about asking and receiving? But still, Christians don't believe it. They say, well, if I ask for it. But see, the thing is, there's also a point. I'm not just saying, you know, because the Bible also tells us that doesn't mean you're just going to sit there and ask for more and more and more and more just what you want. But see, we have to be living life after God, and there are a connection to these things. Amen? But I want to read this verse here, 14 in the Amplified. It says, he will honor and glorify me because he will take of, receive, draw upon what is mine and will reveal it, declare it, disclose, or transmit it to you. Transmit it to you. And say, this is what I got. This is what you can have. This is what Jesus paid for. He said, these are the things that are freely given. See, the thing freely given, this is what trips so many people up. They say, oh, it's all free. No, there are things you have to do for it. But when you do those things, he gives it freely. When you align yourself with God, when you decide to be his child, when you say, I'm going to live after you, then he freely gives it. Salvation, but see, people think, I don't know why people think this. Salvation is free in the sense that you don't have to work to get it. You can't go out there and do enough to work for salvation. But it's not free in the sense it means you don't have to do anything to receive salvation. You have to open your mouth. Romans 10:9 tells us that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, so there has to be a believing and there has to be a confession. That's the same way we obtain everything. Believe it and you have to confess it. I'm not talking about being name it, claim it people. We're not going around laying hands on everything saying, oh, this is mine in Jesus' name and getting all weird, hallelujah. You don't walk through Walmart and say, well, this is mine in Jesus' name. Let's see how far you get. Praise the Lord. Well, nowadays, they might walk out with it. I don't know. Praise the Lord. But you understand, there's rules to things. You're not going to go down if that's where you go or wherever else you go and buy a car or walk out with a car without paying for it. There's going to be a transaction. Amen? And the same thing is with God. Praise the Lord. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. And there's something else you have to understand. He's not saying this to the whole world. He's saying this to people who believe in him. He's saying this to people who are connected to him. See, you can believe Jesus is the Son of God, but you never get connected to him and never experience anything he has. Yeah, that's the truth. You know how many people sit in churches like bumps on logs and have no idea who Jesus even is? Jesus himself, again, told us. He said, there will be many of you that will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, and I'll say, depart from me. I didn't know you. The people saying, Lord, Lord, are not sinners on the street. You know, people say, oh, once saved, always saved. No, the Bible doesn't teach once saved, always saved. The Bible teaches us that you have to remain. If you continue in the things of God, if you continue after God, if you continue in the things of God, then you will continue to have the things that he offers. But it is not free to somebody who is going to act like basically dirt, spiritual dirt bag. The Bible says you cannot trample the word of God underfoot and expect to still have his salvation. I mean, in so many words, that's what it says. But he says you can't trample. He said how much sore punishment will come upon those who trample the blood of Christ underfoot, who have received it and then walked away from it. There has to be a receiving walk. They're not going to go to heaven. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. I just want to read this to you in the NIV version because I saw this. I love it. John 7:17 in the NIV says, anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out, Jesus said this, will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. You know what he's saying? The proof is in the eating. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. Yeah, anyone who chooses to do the will. You have to choose to do the will of God. You have to say, I'm going to line my life up with that. I'm going to choose to do it. Those are the ones who are going to find out if Jesus is true or not. This is why so many people are saying, well, I tried it, but it don't work. Why? Because they didn't choose to do the will of God. They maybe come to church once, and then they go off and live like an idiot the rest of the time, and they wonder why the power of God don't work. It ain't going to work in your life. I said this before, I'll say it again. I can't pray stupid out of people, and I won't try. I ain't going to try to pray stupid out of people. If you reject the Word of God, then you won't have the things the Word of God has. I can't stop that thing in your life. I can't stop that path you're on. I can't force people. If Jesus couldn't force people, what makes you think I can? You think my prayers are stronger than the Lord's? No, my prayers aren't any stronger than His. If you choose wrong, you're still going to pay for it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're talking about things that are freely given, though. We'd be excited for the things that are freely given. We have to understand there's things that are freely given. Glory to God. And listen, sometimes I'm an idiot. There's times I choose wrong. But what do? I've also learned that there's this awesome thing called repentance. And then that's what grace is for. That's for when I screw up and I can go to God and say, hey, Lord, I'm sorry. I know I made this mistake. He said, all right, come back in. It's all right. You don't have to stay out there. You don't have to be condemned. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you're living wrong, you've got to be condemned. You are condemned. The Bible says you're condemned already. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So many people think Scripture is talking about heaven. But it is not, because we understand what's in heaven. We've already been told. But look at what it continues to say. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. See, eye has not seen nor ear heard, just in the natural realm. They haven't understood it. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. We say, well, He hasn't revealed it to me. Well, have you been listening to Him? Have you been talking with God? Have you put your life before God? Have you sat down and taken time with God and say, Lord, show me your way. Show me your direction. I mean, I'm telling you, I don't think there's $10 that will come into my pocket, into my hand, that I won't seek the Lord and say, Father, is there something you want me to do with this? But you know how many people don't even consider with what they're supposed to. They don't even consider what to do with it. They just say, oh, it's my money. I'm going to spend it on mine. But see, that's why I'm blessed. Praise the Lord. I sit before the Lord as much as I think about it. Praise the Lord. I'm always, my mind is before the Lord. My heart is before the Lord. God, am I doing right in your eyes? Am I doing what you want me to do? Am I living my life the way that you want me to live it? And people who don't, they won't receive the same things that a person who does that will. But see, I wasn't so smart to figure it out on my own. I had people teach me. I have people that taught me this word, that taught me the truth, that God will give us freely. He'll give us all things freely. God isn't holding anything back from His children. Would you hold anything back from your child? If you had a child that came up to you and was doing everything they possibly could, would you say, get away from me? I don't want to give that to you. Sometimes even when it's bad, we want to give things to our kids. You know? Dad, can I have a second ho-ho, please? No. Please, Dad? Well, okay, maybe. Praise the Lord. And give me one, too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Couldn't have a sermon without ho-hos. It just wouldn't be right. You know that. Hallelujah. Glory. But you understand, but God does the same thing, really. It doesn't mean, see, it doesn't. That's the thing, is we don't have to be perfect. This is what I love about our Lord. We don't have to be perfect. I am so not perfect. Dear Jesus, I remember there was a time I sat because I was particularly worked up about what I'm not. Yeah. I spent my life learning what I wasn't. I spent my life being told what I wasn't, being shown what I wasn't, being shown how I was never good enough, how I could never. And so there was a lot of times I would still go before the Lord and be like, God, like I don't know why you put me here. Why did you give me these people? Why did you put me in front? See, it's not that. It's because my heart is willing. And God said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you can't, because I'm going to meet you. And He has every single time. I've never stepped in the pulpit and felt worthy of stepping in the pulpit. I've never gone before God. I there's been so many times I've been in that back room right before service looking up to heaven saying, Lord, if you want them to have something, you got to put it in me because I ain't got it. I don't have it. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I can't be like my pastor. He's smart and he can do all these things and he remembers Scripture and all this. I can't do that, Lord, but if you want something for those people, you got to do it. And He does. Every time. Praise the Lord. He gives us the word every single time. Lives change every single time. We have people in here that have been healed of cancer. Why? Not because of what I've done, because of the word. We have people in here who have been healed of addictions. Well, not because of what I've done, because of the word. We got people in here. See, that God doesn't need you to do anything. All he needs you to do is be faithful. He doesn't need you to go out and make things happen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Oh, that's where we were. Where were we? Skipping ahead. Verse 10. But this, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received. Now, knowing all that stuff that we just read, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been, what? Freely given to us by God himself. The Spirit is on the inside of us to teach us what is freely given. But if you spend more time thinking about your cage, if you spend more time in your cage thinking about what you don't have in the flesh, if you spend more time thinking about what you can't do than what the Spirit says and seeking the Spirit, then you're never going to know the things that are freely given to you. This is why so many churches are full of people who have no idea who God even is. They have no idea who God even is. They think God is the God who gives and takes away. Even though, again, like I've said 1,000 times, and we can prove it in just a few short scriptures, that scripture is so wildly taken out of context. But God, we write songs, God gives and takes away. Glorify God because he gives and takes away. I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't glorifying a God that gives and takes away. I ain't going to glorify a God who gives somebody a baby and then rips that baby away from them. I ain't glorifying a God like that because that God's evil. I said that God's evil. I'll say it boldly. I'll scream it on mountaintops. God, a God that gives and takes away, a God that gives something. God, he wants to teach me something, so he's going to make me sick. That is sick. It's disgusting, and it's never what Jesus did. Well, how many times do we see Jesus make somebody sick? How many times do we see Jesus rip away from people? Jesus looked at the multitude, and he had compassion on them because they were lost. They didn't have shepherds, and so he sent them shepherds to teach them. And then now we have shepherds, supposed shepherds, that will teach people garbage. Yeah, they teach them the garbage that isn't the truth, and then we have whole congregations of people who are hurting and go without simply because they don't know the truth of the word. The truth of the word tells us that God has healed us. By his stripes, we have been healed. Why does that not manifest? Because people don't even know it. They don't know how to speak it. They don't know how to bring it into their lives. They don't know how to activate the power of God in their lives. See, the power of God is not automatic on the earth. But so many people, you can believe that. If you still believe that, fine, believe it. But just don't, you might as well stop coming then. Because anything I teach is not going to settle in you. Anything I teach is not going to help you. Anything that the Bible teaches isn't going to help you. Praise the Lord. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But look at this. This is so important. Verse 14 is so incredibly important. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. If you are a natural Christian, you will never understand what it's like to be a spiritual Christian. You can't understand it because you're natural. What's a natural? One who just lives in the flesh. One who never lives in the spirit. One who never takes time to develop the spiritual things. One who never reads the word. No, one who never prays in the spirit. One who never learns the thing that God teaches them. They'll be a natural man, and that's why they're foolishness. That's why you can have preachers of the gospel say that other preachers of the gospel are preaching lies when we're preaching the word. I encourage you to do this. If you ever question it, take what I say and show me scripture that says otherwise. Show me in the word. I've had people come up to me. I preach to the one saved always against the one saved always saved garbage. And I've had people come up to me with supposed scripture that says it. And then I show them scripture after scripture after scripture where the Bible says that's just not so. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. See, you can take things out of context and make up your own doctrine, but hey, the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons do that. That's why they're so off, too. But you know what's sad is they do more witnessing than a lot of Christians do. Yep, it's the truth. Praise the Lord. But the natural man does not receive so much or receive the things of the Spirit. This is why so much of the church goes without. They are far more natural than they are spiritual. So many times people go without because they don't spend enough time building their spirit. They don't do the things that the Bible tells them to do to build their spirit, and they wonder why they go without. 1 Timothy 4:6. I know you all want to hear we're fixing the clothes, and we kind of are. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 4:6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I'm a good minister. Hallelujah. I fall in that category. Why? I'm instructing the brethren and the sister in too. I didn't leave the brethren just by themselves. I'm going to instruct the sister in too. Praise the Lord. And brethren means all, you know, praise the Lord. But we have to include it in there because people just don't get it. See, there's so many, so that's another doctrine of the church that is so erroneously taught over the years was that women don't matter. Women can't be preachers. All this stuff. Of course, you don't, yeah, they twist scripture. Again, they take it out of context and they make it say what they want to say so they can do that. But you know, it's funny because those same denominations that teach that women can't be pastors, they'll let them teach. And that's the reason they won't, is because the Bible says a woman can't teach a man. And so they say, well, you know, they can't teach a man. But they can teach Sunday school. Well, how does that work out? So they can teach Sunday school, but they can't teach it. You see, but twisting scripture, amen? They didn't understand. See, the part of scripture that we have to understand, we got to read scripture in context. We have to read scripture in context is partially knowing the history of how it was written, why it was written, who they were speaking to, who they were talking to. Why Jesus talked about divorce, Paul talked about divorce. They said two different things. Who do we listen to? Well, we listen to Paul. Why? Because Paul was writing letters to the churches. Jesus was speaking to Jews. Yeah. That's how we get the truth of that. We understand. See, Jesus was answering the Jews based on a question the Jews were asking him based on the law. So Jesus was addressing it. But see, if you didn't study, you wouldn't know this stuff. The Bible says to study to show yourself approved. Praise the Lord. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed, but reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, right? And that doesn't mean you can take this scripture and say, well, I don't need exercise now because it only profits a little. Now, I've tried that. I try that on a constant basis, a consistent basis. You know, we preach in the full gospel. That's why we preach the full gospel, because we're not practicing the bodily exercise. Praise the Lord. But godliness is profitable for all things. All things. It's profitable. Godliness is profitable for all things. Everybody say all things. I just want to make sure you're all still there. Godliness is profitable for all things. If something is profitable, that means that it's good, right? We don't want things that are unprofitable, right? Would you work a job that's not profitable? No. Would you work a job where they say, oh, I'm sorry, we can't pay you today? No, you wouldn't do that. Well, the same people live lives in ways that don't pay. They don't have a payout. Godliness is profitable. Praise the Lord for all things. So we got to read the scripture. Having promise of the life that now is. Oh, I'm preaching a lot better than your amen and hallelujah. That now is, praise the Lord, having a promise for the life that now is. You want to live the life that now is good, right? Does anyone not want to live a good life now? Praise the Lord. Is there anybody who wants to live, only wait for the sweet by and by? Praise the Lord. Everybody wants to live a good life now. We got to do the things that are profitable for this life now. And that's the Word of God, putting it to practice in your life, getting in the Word and getting soaked in it, getting saturated in the Word, not being okay with it being on your shelf, collecting dust, but getting it out, breaking into it and saying, Lord, show me according to your Word. Teach me according to your Word. Give me life according to your Word. And I guarantee you, when you start approaching the Word like that, your life is going to start changing like you've never seen it change before. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God. I understand what it's like to suffer reproach because I trust in the living God. People look at me all the time and say, you're a fool for doing what you do. Well, praise the Lord. Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Praise the Lord. So we see that the Word is bringing us to the Word. The Word is trying to show us that the importance of life is in the Word. The importance of living is in the Word. How does a young man cleanse his way? By keeping heed according to your word. How do you stop doing the things that you know are wrong? By taking heed according to, we're doing the word. Putting the word to practice, getting into it, amen? We are fixing the close. We're getting close here. Promise, we just got one more hill to kind of climb up over, amen? Ephesians 2:14, praise the Lord. But see, here's the thing. This hour that you spend in church on Sunday, if you put it to practice, will change everything in your life. 1 hour. I mean, people sit in front of a movie and they'll watch raunchy entertainment and they'll get filled with nothing but garbage and they'll walk away thinking that they've done good. And I'm not saying that movies are wrong or whatever. You can't watch movies. I mean, you got to judge for yourself what's right and wrong as far as that stuff going. But I'm saying that people have a hard time sometimes with going to church and getting the word that will change their life. But see, the thing is they don't even believe that. Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace. He's our peace. We're looking for peace. So I know when I get married, then I'll find peace. I know when I have kids, then I'll find peace. I know when I make my first, when I pay my first month's bills on time, then I'll have peace. I know that when I get over the sickness, then I'll have peace. No, we're searching for peace. And you remember that song, Searching for Love in All the Wrong Places? People are searching for peace in all the wrong places. A lot of times it's the same places that they're searching for love, and that's why they're not finding the peace. Praise the Lord. But I ain't going to talk about that right now. But see, the searching for peace in all the wrong places, and Jesus always was in Jesus. That's where peace or joy, everything we ever need is found right in him. It's right there, waiting for us. Tap in. Glory to God. How we do that? Through the word. For he himself is our peace, who made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. We have been brought into a body. A body is not separate. If you have arms and you have legs, if they're not attached, they're not doing you any good, and they certainly aren't doing very good. If I cut my leg and throw it over there, come back in a week, and that's not going to smell as pretty as the rest of me does. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm waiting here because it's kind of cool in here. But we take it outside, you know, in the sun. It ain't going to smell as pretty as the rest of me does. You know why? Because it's not attached to the body. See, the body, it's important to understand that we are one. We are one with God. Now, this doesn't mean we're God. It doesn't mean that but we have access to the Father. Jesus came to live on the inside of us for a reason. God wanted to dwell in temple not made with human hands. But he lives inside of us. And he says that he's making one out of the two. Praise the Lord. And then he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting death the enemy, enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. You have access to the Father. You know, there's so many times in my life where I just wanted access. I just wanted access to someone who would teach me. Lord, give me access to my Father. And then one day the Lord came to me, and I remember one day when I realized that it wasn't going to happen the way that I wanted to. And one day the Lord spoke to me when I was in my car. I was on Buffalo Street coming down around the curb by the cemetery. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I will be your Father. I will be a father to you. He spoke that to me. And in an instant, I realized what he meant by it. He was saying to me that he was going to be my inheritance. He was going to be the father. He was going to fulfill that void in me. He was going to be the one who did all the things if I trusted in him, if I pointed it to him, if I looked to him. See, that's the thing. It doesn't matter what happens to you here. All that matters is what happened 2,000 years ago. He paid that way. He opened that door for me to get in. And to have access to everything that I'd ever need. And honestly, that is what has put so much of my life, of things that I didn't have, at peace, because now I didn't need to look to those things anymore because I got him. And see, the thing is, and this is the greatest thing, whenever the Lord speaks to you, it should always line up with the word. Some people have the Lord speak to them, and it's not the Lord at all. Some people are living like the devil. They say the Lord's speaking to them, and like he won't even tell you to go to church. So Jesus is giving you all this great revelation, but he can't tell you to live right? There's something wrong about that. I don't know. I don't know what spirit you're listening to, but I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't Jesus. Hallelujah. But the Lord will speak to you. And he spoke to me, and it was just like a day later that I was in Scripture, and I found right where he said, I think it was in Romans, he said, I will be a father to you. Praise the Lord. And he said it other places. Glory to God. So he spoke it in my spirit and spoke it to me through the word. But they lined up, right? Praise the Lord. For him, for through him we have both access by one spirit to the Father. Now when we have access to something, that means it's yours. If I give you a key to my house and say you have access, you can come in and you can do what you want. That's why you don't have keys and I ain't giving you access. Praise the Lord, because I want you in my house doing what you want. Hallelujah. Well, some people we gave Chris and Bob a key, but they told them this is what you can do in there. Don't do it. I'm just kidding. They can come in and they can hang out anytime they want. Praise the Lord. Chris and Bob are good people. What's that? Play with the bunny. Keep that bunny corralled. Hallelujah. Hopefully you can, but we were chasing her around. I grabbed hold of her at one point and she still got away from me. I mean, that bunny, and she just kicked. I mean, she wasn't letting up, you know. She just started, her feet started going 9 miles. She left some hair before, or fur behind too, right? Yeah. I'm gonna make my wife a sweater. That big, but it's gonna be a nice sweater. The more our lives are built on him, the more we have access to the Father. The more that we build our lives around the Lord, the more we have access to everything that he has. And that's exactly what I'm trying to say to you guys today, is that we have been freely given such wonderful promises. We've been given great and mighty promises, the word says. So it's time that we live in them. It's time that we believe. It's time that we go after them. It's time that we strive for them. It's time that we allow them to be activated in our lives. God has been here all along. His will for man has never changed. His will for man was this from the beginning. When he put Adam and Eve on earth, the first thing he did before he put Adam and Eve on earth is he put everything they ever want, need, or desire, he placed that in earth first. And then he put them in the midst of it. And he said, you have dominion over it. And he said, have fellowship with me. Those are the things that God always wanted. He wanted fellowship with man, and he desired us to be blessed. That's what God desires from us, and that's what God still desires for us. I'm going to close with this scripture. Go ahead and just look at it up here, Colossians 1:17. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. If you want the power of God, it's there for you. It's free for you. All the things that God has, he said, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. The Lord said that, not me. The earth is his and the fullness thereof. What good father has something he won't share with his child? I ask you that. All you need to do is you need to stir yourself up in this daily. You need to remind yourself of this daily. You need to remind yourselves when you're facing lack in your life, you need to remind yourself that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4:19. Praise the Lord. You believe that. Believe what he says. Jesus has come that I may have life and have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. That's John 10:10. Praise the Lord. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. That's Proverbs 10:22. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Also, you don't need to get into very many scriptures before you start finding the real will of God. So start confessing that over your life. Start living that in your life. Say, you know what? I'm not going to be in defeat anymore. When it's being pressed against me, I'm just going to press back. And how do you press back? You press back with your words, son and daughter. Praise the Lord. You use your big boy words. You use your big girl words. You start saying the things that you know you're supposed to say. You don't speak about the trial. You don't speak about how tough it is. You start talking about what you want to see. When it's not what you want to see, then you start speaking to it the way you want it to see. And you watch it change. And it might not change overnight. And that's okay. You don't need it to change overnight. All you need to know is that it's going to change. All you need to know is that God does his word. He is always quick and able to fulfill his word. He is always desiring to fulfill his word. He will. He has before. He'll do it again. What he's done before, he'll do again. The Bible tells us that too. Praise the Lord. It's not over for you. You haven't lost yet. The church hasn't lost yet. All we got to do is start today and start deciding that I'm going to start living right. I'm going to start living the way God wants me to. I'm coming out. And see, that's the greatest thing. You make a mistake, doesn't matter. Pick it up and start moving on. Praise the Lord. You haven't lost your testimony because you made a mistake. You haven't lost your testimony because you stepped backwards a little bit. You know, if God's got a testimony in you, that testimony is meant to carry through all your life. That's why. Speak boldly about the testimonies that we have. That's why it doesn't matter how the devil, you know, the devil has attacked almost every testimony that we have Sunday. You know that? Why? Because he doesn't want people, he wants people to live in fear and he wants them to live thinking that they don't have a testimony. But I'm going to tell you what, you have a testimony. Praise the Lord. If you started before, praise the Lord, and you were going down that path, you can go down it again. You ain't got to be knocked down, defeated. You ain't to live in the back. You start stepping up to the forefront where you're supposed to be. You start living in the promises of God. You start living desiring God, and you watch and see how your life works. change, praise the Lord. You watch and see how it continues to change. God ain't through with you yet. He's only starting. I said he's only starting. He ain't through with you yet. He's only starting. Hallelujah.